I don't know what you're saying. All right, forget it. I heard that. Now say loud what you were saying. Take a call. Oh, I see. All right, take a call. There's a long-distance person waiting. Right. Want me to show you how to make those signs? I just made up some new radio signals, folks, and if we had a television camera, we would have really been in business. Hello? Hello?
Yes?
You're on the air now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening to you here. I'm calling from West Virginia, Jerry.
We just heard another call from
I just typed. I'm in the car radio here in Martinsburg.
I see.
Yes, and I just wanted to call you and give you a little information to make you sick.
What's that?
I keep hearing your tax rates in Boston. I have a property here that's appraised for $21,000 and 11 acres of ground, and I just thought maybe the people in Boston would be interested how much taxes I pay on it a year.
Yeah, is it just plain land?
No, I have a home on it.
A home? How big is the home?
Oh, it's six rooms.
Six rooms. Frame house? Is it a frame house?
Frame house.
Uh-huh.
Partly frame and partly concrete block.
Right, so it's a frame house on 11 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And in what town?
In Martinsburg.
Martinsburg, which is how big a city?
Oh, this is probably 18,000 people.
18,000, it's a pretty good size, right?
Well,
for West Virginia.
We have General Motors here.
Right. And what's the property tax?
Well, it's going to ruin the rest of your night. People here in this part of the state can holler about their taxes being high. I paid $72 last year.
$72?
Yeah.
Well, in Massachusetts, let me see.
Well, I've been listening to you for about 5 or 6 years. It's the first chance I ever got to call you.
I want to tell you what it would be in Massachusetts. It would be about 10 times, 20 times, no, 10 times. It'd be about $2,000.
I heard you before in the tax rate.
That's the 11 acres.
Well, just like my car insurance in this area.
What was that?
Our car insurance in this area, the rates are cheap, too.
Oh, yeah, what's your car insurance?
Well, there again, I have collateral both ways and pay $120 a year,
huh? Uh-huh. Well, it would be about $350
here. Yeah, I heard some people referring to it.
We really got it. We really got it.
Well, Massachusetts, I went up there and bowled before in Seekonk.
Right.
Seekonk?
That's right, Seekonk.
Yeah, I bowled on the duck pin tour, and I've been up in that area.
Uh-huh.
And it's...
Well, it's not too bad in that area. You see, property taxes are fairly high there, but we have a reasonable sales tax, which is 3%, and that's reasonable compared to other states around us. Some of them have 5% and 6%, and we have a reasonable income tax, which is 5% of, flat rate 5%. Now, that's reasonable, but where it begins to become unreasonable in the state is on the property tax level, and that's where they grab you.
Well, how do you think a person could complain about his taxes in this area, though?
And not for $72, you wouldn't hear me complaining.
Well, I'll give you another example. A $150,000 farm in this area would cost you about $170 a year.
Wow.
For a property that's appraised and valued at $150,000. This is farmland and riverland. But what makes you a little bit concerned is that people can gripe about their taxes being high in this area. They should move out. They should go across to Maryland. Of course, we're right on the river here in Maryland and Virginia, and they're double and triple in those states.
Yeah, just tell them to listen to WBZ here at night, and they'll kiss the ground.
Well, I tell you, how about doing me a favor?
What's that?
I've been listening to you for, I guess, 7 or 8 years.
All right.
I really enjoy you because I figure one thing, you bring them out of the woodwork. And how about send me a picture of you?
Okay, will do.
All right, I'll give it off the air, right?
Yeah, just hold on just a minute. 2545678 on WBC. I haven't taken a good picture in about 10 years, but get this fellow's name and number, all right? Here's another quotation, folks. We've certainly turned the corner in Vietnam. Now, who said that? Doesn't anybody? We've certainly turned the corner in Vietnam. Who said that? 1016 on BZ. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Talk about my brother in Vietnam.
Is your brother in Vietnam?
Yes, he's coming out soon. He came home at Christmas and told me how bad it has been. Is when the bombs from one of those B-52s,
mm-hmm.
He went in right after then and told me all the people there with the arms off. Tell me it's really bad there.
And when's he coming home?
He's coming home July 28th.
July 28th. That's not too far off, is it, huh?
No.
How old are you?
11.
And how old's your brother?
24.
And where do you live?
What?
Where do you live?
Newton Highland.
In Newton Highland?
Yes.
Well, we're glad he's coming home. That's the main thing, huh?
All right.
Good talk to you. Bye. 254-5678 on WBZ Radio. We have some open lines, and we'll be with you in a minute. Let's see here. Some airlines give you something special on some of their flights from Boston to California, to Los Angeles, I should say. TWA gives you something special on all of its flights from Boston to Los Angeles. Ambassador service. It's special because it gives you more comfort and luxury. And what's more special than that? If you're going to Los Angeles, TWA is the only airline that offers a 747, which means you can stretch out and relax in a big, comfortable coach lounge. A TWA's 747 is the only midday nonstop leaving at noon. Or you can take TWA's 707 to Los Angeles at 4:30. It's the only 707 that offers an intimate coach lounge that has twin seats and coach. So if nobody's sitting next to you, you can fold down the middle seat and sit two across. You'll get a choice of meals, and only TWA gives you a choice of two first-run movies on every movie flight. A competition doesn't even show one. And no scheduled airline has lower fares on nonstop flights to Los Angeles. So why settle for some other airline when TWA's ambassador service gives you so much more? Call your travel agent or TWA.
These days, you have to be more than just a good cook to put a good meat dish on the table. You have to be a mathematician, cook, and sometimes a magician rolled into one. Except this week, when Stop and Shop pulls a little magic of its own to give you some good lean meat for just 58 cents a pound. This week, Stop and Shop brings you a special sale on delicious, fully cooked colonial hams at just 58 cents a pound, shank portion. It's lean, tender, fully cooked ham, water added, all ready to slice for sandwiches, or garnish it with fruit and your favorite glaze and bake it a while. But however you serve it, you're sure to like Colonial's fully cooked ham. At just 58 cents a pound, shank portion, it adds up to hefty savings and very good eating. Now through Saturday night at Stop and Shop. It's worth going out of your way for.
We have never been in a better relative position. I have three to work on. We're on a course that's going to end this war. We've certainly turned the corner in Vietnam. We have never been in a better relative position. Three different people. Hello.
Jerry?
Yes?
Hi. I just wanted to give you a little compliment, Jerry. You have a competitive talk show station that calls itself the news station in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But I would submit, I think the people of Massachusetts and even outside of Massachusetts are better informed by your courage and honesty. You're not afraid to give your own opinion, and I believe you're the only talk master in Boston who has really kept the Vietnam issue alive, and I'm sure many people will agree with me that you deserve some sort of a Free the People Award. I think your programming is exciting, it's controversial, and I think it's actually fearless. I remember
Thank you. You
had on Daniel Ellsberg not so long ago.
That's right.
And you were talking about the restrictions that I know you feel yourself, and I know other talk masters feel. I believe you brought up the competitive station, and that you felt yourself and conscience you could not work under these conditions. Am I right?
No, I couldn't work under the conditions whereby you took any position simply because it was the other position disagree with the particular call.
This is it, and they refer to this as the devil's advocate role, and I find
it becomes a game, you see, and I think
it is. Yeah, I think it's a role which I wonder how they can play it, because I often find I have the feeling as though they're struggling within themselves, some of them more than others, I would say.
Oh, yes, sir.
I don't know them personally.
There is a struggle.
But you probably know them personally, and perhaps you know yourself that some of them have a struggle more than others to play this role.
And there is a struggle. And
they're caught in a trap, and it's a role which actually I think a true war hater must find it almost impossible to play. And I know from the newspapers that you sometimes get yourself in a little bit of trouble, but God love you, you managed to get yourself out of it. You've got so much courage, and I just think you have a greatness about you that should be commended, and I don't think too many people bring it out.
I think chalk programs, strangely enough, are looked askance by those who are in the so-called news field. For instance, one night I had George Frazier on a couple of years back.
Yes.
And Richard Jenks of CBS, he's the CBS news chief, heard us.
Yes.
And it was a very exciting, that particular night happened to be a very exciting program. And George and I were, and the callers were engaged in what we could call lively conversation on a flock of different issues. And Richard Jenks evidently heard us down in New York somewhere.
Yes.
And, you know, I'd worked for CBS in Chicago for a few years. And he was just surprised that I had a great deal of knowledge stored away. But if I wanted to turn, let's say, into the news field, suppose I wanted to become a newsman,
mm-hmm.
You know, to make it a bit easier on myself. In my later years, I might want to, you know, take on something a little bit lighter, a little bit easier. Do you know that these credentials, the thing that I've done for 20 years, they don't consider that background in news?
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
I know.
News people somehow look askance at the fact that I'm non-objective.
But why is it? How come you, is it Westinghouse? How come you have this freedom that the others obviously don't have? In other words,
it's the company.
It's Westinghouse. In other words, we are to credit Westinghouse for this.
That's
like, for instance, the Boston Globe.
Right.
Equivalent,
I was with CBS as well, though, back in the. 65 to 68, and it depends on who the general manager is, whether you're under the gun in New York. In New York, somehow, when you're under the gun of the big executives, you have to tend to your remarks a little bit, but as long as you're in Chicago and they don't hear you every night, you know, meeting Frank Stanton and others, you can bend a little bit. So in Chicago, I had great freedom as well, although I was with the same company that you're complaining about.
But, you know, the thing is, with those who listen to the talk shows enough, you get to realize just how they are able to do this. They're very, they have to be clever, but after a while, you catch on to how they phrase their statements. For instance, now a caller will say to them, well, what do you think of this? And then they'll have to preface their statement by saying, well, there are those who say, or it might be argued, so that if, let's say, it was to come back to them that they had given this as their opinion, they would say, well, no, I did not
say this. You're very observing about that.
Yes, I said, no, I said, if there are those who say, or it might be argued, is this not true?
Those are the terms that he used.
This is it. Now, I find this is extremely obvious, and I feel sort of sorry for them. I think that the tremendous pressure that comes to me strongly.
There is pressure, and I think the unhappiness of doing something like that deals with the fact that the issue becomes a game, you see, rather than the importance of what is going on. I think that the war, of course, is of primary importance to this country.
But aren't they afraid of in other words, what they're really afraid of is the FCC and so forth, presidential recrimination. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
licensing.
In other words, we could say our nation is the best in the world and perhaps the freest.
Well, if you read Newsweek this week on Nixon and the media, you'll see this thrust at the radio and television people is the most serious one in our history.
Yeah.
Other people don't realize it, but there's great pressure now from the President of the United States upon the Washington Post and its licenses, a great thrust upon the stations and the networks, particularly CBS.
Well, didn't you say yourself that lately you feel as though you're looking behind your shoulder lately?
I have that feeling. Yeah. I have that feeling.
I think that's terrible. I mean, in other words, we're really at best 50% free.
Although I might add again that Westinghouse is very good about the kind of editorial freedom that's granted here, and that's what makes the program. So, once again, you're very observant because not many people understand that.
And I think a lot of it, too, is that they have become robots. In other words, let's say you get a UPI report coming over into the station, and the newscasters will repeat, let's say, 500 communists were killed today. In other words, how do they know that all 500 were communists?
Mm-hmm.
Even the best of Eurasian scholars, as near as Harvard, will tell you that at best only 20% could be considered communist, so that they don't interpret the news. They simply repeat it just like they were, you know, robots are, in fact, even Jerry Friedheim, you know, when he's giving his Pentagon, I mean, when he's talking to the newsmen, he sits up in that table, it's on his own, he's getting wound up.
And they
seem like robots. In fact, even I would say Kissinger seems as though he's been programmed.
Well, they are all...
They're all programmed.
They must adhere,
they're like robots. I don't think they're speaking for themselves at all anymore. I think they're all in a trap, and we know what McNamara has said recently to I think it was it Bob, in the Washington Payoff, he had made the... he admitted that he is a destroyed man now.
Well,
and they will all be destroyed men. They'll not only destroy our country if they keep it up, but they all have destroyed themselves.
McNamara once said back in October of 1965, "We have stopped losing the war." Thanks very much for calling on at 1028 WBC Radio. The lady is observant about other stations, and some stations allow, you know, great editorial freedom, and others want you to play a certain kind of role of devil's advocate. This is not the kind of thing I can do because I can't do it. Hello.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, sir.
First, I'd just like to make a comment about all those people in West Virginia. Actually, I have to agree with them after passing through Charlestown or Martinsburg. Probably about the only place I think I'd like to go.
Why? Why is that?
I've driven through there and I've looked around and stuff, and I've talked to the people in the town. Things to see and things to do. Beautiful part of the country that you don't have up here, and as everybody has explained tonight, the taxes are extremely low.
I think it's about like, West Virginia, great, nice people, and the tradition of West Virginia has always been, I might add that of all the states, land buys are the best in West Virginia.
Right. Right. Well, I suppose people are hearing about the coal mines and all that stuff, but it is an economy that they have to thrive on for people there. But well, I just thought I'd mention that people call in second. I'd just like to answer this possible question. I think in answer to your who said it,
mm-hmm.
I would take a choice between Melvin Laird and General Westmoreland, but I think I'll stick with General Westmoreland.
Well, Melvin Laird did say the one
the first one.
We certainly turned the corner in Vietnam. He said that on July 15th, 1969.
Okay.
Westmoreland, did you say Westmoreland?
Yes, I did.
Yes, he said, one of the ones that you picked on, we have never been in a better relative position.
Was that in 66 or 65?
No, that was 68.
68.
He must have said it in 65 as well, but that was April 10th, 1968. The first one was uttered by President Nixon on September 26th, 1969. We're on a course that is going to end this war. Westmoreland again. We have succeeded in obtaining our objective. That was July 13th.
Yeah, right. I have all that. I got that.
1967.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's an interesting one. The United States still hopes to withdraw its troops from South Vietnam by the end of 1965. Who said that? That was McNamara. February 19th, 1964.
I believe General Westmoreland also about 64 said that there isn't too much of a chance for North Vietnam to continue this war much longer. I believe it's either 64 or 66. I remember I was reading out the Schlesinger's book and he had 11 different quotes of General Westmoreland with these particular dates, and it was quite shocking at the time.
Here's General Paul Harkins, commander of Military Assistance Command of Vietnam, who said, "Victory is just months away. I can safely say the end of the war is in sight." That was on October 31st, 1963.
I think you got the same source as I do. Just a third more point, I don't want to belabor what you're saying, it's very important, but I think I have a solution as far as the oil shortage problem as this is coming up here.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
Seeing how President Nixon is supporting the domestic oil manufacturers as far as the oil depletion allowance, I don't know, as being a history teacher and a history major, and I look back upon colonial living, which is one of the theses I'm writing, I don't think there's anything wrong with going back to either place. Like if you're going to New Hampshire or going to West Virginia, if you are single, or maybe if you do have a very small family, go back to that 1-2-3-room house with a very nice fireplace. And you would be surprised during the summer, maybe during the spring and late fall, what cutting wood, say, every other Sunday can do for you. And stockpile it during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to save yourself on oil bills. Perhaps maybe this is worth going back. I mean, I see a lot of people. I know personally a few people who've done it. Not just the people in the hippie communes. I'm not talking specific about that. I'm talking about people who are actually going back in the outer woods of Maine, maybe. People who, say, you know, can teach in a regional school. They might have to drive a few miles. But, what's wrong with getting the old fire going in the evening or set it up in the morning? It's, you can't beat it.
Listen, a lot of people are doing that.
You cannot beat it, and I think this is what's going to happen. And if I just make my last concluding report, as I do look around and listen to different people that I do talk to, I'm going to have to admit, and I never said this a year ago, I'm saying it today perhaps maybe with some reluctance, but I think the American people, as far as their apathy is concerned, or what's going on the last, say, 5 or 6 years, but with their apathy, which has drawn up perhaps many people, or made them appear to be more ignorant than ever because of this apathy, not going on, I think they're going to be taken for a ride. I'm not saying these people, of course, are going to be able to do, and because they're not able to do it, they're going to be extremely apathetic. Apathy is going to lead ignorance on the issues, and when that happens, well, you can tell them anything.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
Here's another one of those quotations. We must be willing to continue our bombing until we've destroyed every work of man in North Vietnam, if this is what it takes to win the war. Who said that one? The spirit of New England, WBZ Boston, Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting, going. Room Furniture Company, 196. Must break through the media. $100,000 must be sacrificed. 30 to 50% quality furniture such as Thomas of American United Stanley and more. Add kitchen chairs, $4. Bunk beds, $39. Lamps, $3. Just a few of the many bargains. Hurry to Bloom Furniture, 196 Franklin Street, Melbourne. Bring your car, station wagon, a truck, and save even more. Store will close January 20th, only 10 days left. Time is running out, open every night to last.
The blood. Brotherhood.
This is Carl D'Souza, BZ Radio.
And I'm Lavelle Dye, BZ TV, reminding you that Blood Brotherhood Day is January the 11th at the John Hancock Building in Boston.
Join BZ Radio personalities, plus many of the people you see on Channel 4 every day.
Help us overcome this critical blood shortage. Plan now to give blood at the John Hancock Building, January 11th, Blood Brotherhood Day.
And remember, we'll be broadcasting all that day live from 9 to 5.
You know, dinner with a family is kind of like an early evening television newscast. You try to give each other an up-to-the-minute report on the day's events, complete with headlines.
Boy, wait till I tell you what happened at the office.
Big stories.
Can you believe I got a ticket for making a left turn from the right-hand lane?
Sports.
We won.
Fashion.
Be careful, you're dripping gravy on your new shirt.
Consumer affairs.
Finish your piece.
Yeah, they cost 49 cents a pound.
Human interest.
You'll never guess who's getting a divorce.
And even weather.
It's cold outside. Put on your jacket.
It's only natural for people to want to know what's happening in the family and in the family of man. And maybe that's why so many people depend on the Eyewitness News team. Every day at 6 and 11 on WBZ TV4.
Good evening. This is Tom Ellis, Eyewitness News. If you think you had it rough today, wait till you see what happened to the world.
Not again.
The Eyewitness News team. They're believable. And isn't that really what you're looking for?
25 minutes to 11. This is Jerry Williams. It's an open night tonight. Hello.
Are you speaking to me, Jerry?
Yes, you're on the
line. Good evening. This is a long overdue call, and I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
Friends of mine and myself were a bit perturbed. We had read you were going to Florida. We were going to extend our sympathy to you, but I've been corrected and said it wasn't true. So I was going to congratulate you that you weren't getting away from Massachusetts. I'm a Massachusetts resident, and I'd love to take that West Virginia offer if I possibly could.
Sounds great, doesn't it?
It sure does. And it's for the 3%, you must remember, it may be 3% tax, but they don't have the car rates, as you told us, spoke to the man about. Plus, we have, it makes up in other ways, not paychecks. So that 3% doesn't sound much, but with the heating bills and the paychecks and the way the taxes are, I would take 5% if we had a higher pay. However, my second call was, I'm a bit perturbed. I was reading the paper this evening on that J.F. Kennedy, it's a rumor by the Republicans. I don't know whether you read it or not. They'd like to take J.F. Kennedy's massive bust out of the Kennedy Center with a main inaugural bomb. or to me as well if it's okay, because I think it's very disrespectful for a president, regardless of whether he's a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, I hope they don't move it after all.
Well,
they said it was erected in John Kennedy's name.
Right. They said they're going to put the cameras around it so he won't even be shown. And as far as the food prices, all they're concerned is about what they're going to wear at the inaugural ball. Now you can see we can take care of the food prices. Don't worry about it. So if you were going to Florida, Jerry, I was going to say take me along with you because I want to get out of Taxachusetts too.
Well,
I understand you're staying here. Is that correct?
As far as I know, right.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I don't know. I'm glad for your sake, but we do enjoy your show immensely.
I appreciate it, and I thank you very much.
Yeah, thank
you. Bye-bye. 254-5678. More people have read that item in Dave Farrell's column. We've sent an answer to the letters to the editor column, and Charlie Ripple told us it would be printed up tomorrow or the next day, and we also sent a copy along to Dave Farrell. One of the problems with some reporters is, as Senator McGovern indicated last night, they never check their facts. And usually, again, I don't get very much press in town anyway for anybody that appears on the program and makes some news, but that's really kind of a Chicago. While I was there, for some strange reason, the town is much more alive newspaper-wise. And there's no, competition between newspapers, radio, and television is non-existent in Chicago. The Chicago radio and TV columnists are digging all the time to get news about the local radio and TV community. In Chicago, there are probably 500-600 people who work in that field. And people like reading, I suppose, about those personalities who work both on radio and television. And there's great competition for it in this town. The only thing that's competitive is who gets the public relations release, the publicity and promotion release from NBC first, and who gets to print it first, Percy Shane or Tony McCammon. Things that I know at the moment happening in the radio and television world, which would be of interest to great many people. And if you were a radio and television columnist who was worth a salt at the time, they could do it. So you got the news quite easily. Of course, we went to any time there was an item about me in the Chicago papers of any consequence that had dealt with my relationship with the station or making moves or anything like that. And columnists who cuts into whoever it might be called me and said, this is what I hear. Is that true? And you could either confirm or say no comment. But at least they used to check these things out. This digging, probing type of awesome columnist. We don't have that in this town. We have just a bunch of sleepy columnists who are usually printing the latest news about the common Google Corps and reviewing Maud for the second or third time and things of that nature. Today, by the way, speaking of columnists, the best one in town, George Frazier, really takes on Jack Parr. Isn't he mawkish? I think the title of the column. I couldn't think of a better word. I've always wanted to try to put that into a word. That is my views of recent Jack Parr appearances. When he was the old Jack Parr, it was a different era and a different time and a different period and a different thing. But where is that thing with the Frazier here? I'll find it. Home, I'll talk to yourself a bit, will you? Here, there's Mr. Mawkish. He's back again, and I hear his programs have been an absolute disaster. With Peggy Cass, how can you lose? That was the decision number one that was drawn on the face of it. But, it says, here in our living rooms with Mr. Mawkish himself. And if we had any consideration for our women and children, we would have rushed them into the lifeboats. But only, of course, after first slipping into dresses ourselves. However, always in that incredible hour and a half, his voice seemed about to crack, so one found oneself averting his eyes. Lest he be made privy to matters in the Odyssey of Jack Parr that should be privileged. And he's such a name dropper. My God, has there ever been such a public display of vanity as his on Monday night? But worse, he was also old hat. Hasn't anybody dared to inform him that Camelot is a dead past? Evidently not, for there he was with his damned home movies, showing us the Kennedys to be cut out of his chummy confidences, and the voice would not have achieved without benefit of at least a correspondence course in subdued sobbing. What one would have given for just a touch of his thoughts and temper tantrums of other years. Have you seen fire at all on any of his appearances? Mawkish, really, that's the word. Frazier goes on to say, not the same thing. One should not belittle him, for any man who can sound more lachrymose insincere than Dole Pat from the air and report.
That's where ALA can be.
Friends, let me know if any people would rock and the car just died on us. Then along came the ALA tow truck and towed us off to a safe place.
ABC and ALA make driving a little nicer.
If you can't stand the sight of a station wagon, but you need some of the room of a wagon, set your sights on a Hornet hatchback. See your AMC dealer and take a look at the Hornet hatchback, the sporty car with room to travel in. Car and Driver magazine calls it the styling coup of the year. We call it the Hornet hatchback because the rear window and trunk lid are combined in a hatch. Between that hatch and the price, the Hornet hatchback is easy to get into. It lists for just $2,449, plus destination charges, state and local taxes, options. Only $2,449. You also get the exclusive buyer protection plan backed by American Motors. The Hornet hatchback, you'll like the looks of it. And as an option, you can have the looks of a Levi's interior, too. Come see your AMC dealer today.
See the Hornet hatchback now at your AMC dealer, where you get a good deal and a good deal more. 8 minutes to 11, we're on WBZ Radio. Hello.
Oh, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen. Don't you think that if this country could wanted to negotiate a peace, you know, if it was possible to negotiate a peace, that they should be negotiating with China and Russia rather than North Vietnam?
Well, we're, in touch at this point. The North Vietnamese are always in touch with Peking and the Soviet Union, you know, so are we.
Yeah, but we're on a friendlier basis with China and Russia.
Well,
supposedly.
There was a report that I read rather recently that Dobrynin, you know, the Soviet ambassador, had a good deal to do with bringing the North Vietnamese back to Paris this time. So that
But the point that I'm trying to make is that China, if China and Russia would stop sending supplies into North Vietnam, they wouldn't last a week. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, but the Soviet Union and the Chinese are big powers. We can't tell them what to do.
We can't tell them what to do, but we don't have to send wheat over there so they can send it down to North Vietnam either.
All right. Thank you very much. 2545678. Hello.
Gary.
Yes, sir?
You did by any chance catch Hollywood Square the other day, did you?
The Hollywood Square?
Yes.
I watch it. You mean in the morning or at nighttime?
No, in the morning.
I watch it once in a while in the morning, but not regularly.
Okay, one of the questions was asked to call in. What trait of American people does President Nixon admire the most?
What trait of American people does President Nixon admire the most?
Right. If you can visualize Paul Lynn's answer,
yeah.
He said, hero worshiper. And the true answer was honesty.
Can you believe that? Which one is the facetious one?
Honesty.
which was the facetious answer?
Which one was the facetious one? Honesty.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
Was that the first answer he gave, or was it hero worship was the first one?
Paul Lynn was hero worshiper.
He's a funny guy, but I think I like him better on that show on an ad-lib basis than I do on his regular show.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
I think that's a bummer.
I agree.
Have you seen Jack Parr at all?
No, I haven't.
No. I hear it's a bomb.
Is that
a tremendous bomb.
I never liked him in the beginning.
Yeah.
See why I stick with him now. But it was just funny. It was
that is cute.
One hell of an answer he gave.
Yep. How come you're home in the morning?
Oh, I get a little touch of the bug, so I happen to watch it.
I see. Okay.
Thank you very
much. Thank you very much. 5 minutes to 11. Speaking of the morning, January 16th. 16th. When is that? What's today? What's today? Night? A week from today in the morning, I'm going to be joining Paul Benziquin on his television program for a morning. I've tried to lose some weight, but I can't. I'm going to do the Paul Benziquin show. We're going to be talking about talk shows. What's the name of the sociologist, psychologist? Kaplan? Marty? Morty? Bernie Kaplan. They talk about what kind of people call talk shows. Maybe one night before that month, we'll ask what kind of people call talk shows. I know what kind of people call talk shows. So I'm having done them for 9 hours. So that's next Wednesday morning. And then on the 27th of January, I've been asked to do a couple of hours for one of the calls on the Channel 7 telethon. And I'm going to be doing, that'll be on the 27th, Saturday night at midnight. I'll be on for a couple of hours. The Massachusetts Retail Bakers Association, you know, are selling some sort of nature bread during this month up to that point. And during that hour, I'm going to be on. They're going to bring in all the proceeds they've from that bread. If anybody buys any bread at a Massachusetts Retail Baker, all that money goes to cerebral palsy. I'll be on, and a lot of the radio and television personalities from the area are going to join me for those couple of hours. But I tried to lose some weight, but I haven't come up with it. When you're not on television there, you're not concerned about your appearance too much. You're concerned to go to pop. What? I am apologizing. Yeah, I look great. Right. You won't call me Mr. Markish anyway. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Mr.
Yes, Mr. Pot. Mr. Pot. Well, I'm not on TV or radio, and I can be Mrs. Pot.
Okay.
So, you made me very aware of looking for a place. I'm looking for Utopia. So, I sent for this brochure, and I'd like your opinion.
Yeah, where did you send to?
Well, first of all, here's what they offered me. No drugs and no crime in the street.
Uh-huh.
Work. They'll guarantee me I will not go hungry.
Uh-huh.
They will take care of me medically in all ways. And when I get older, I will be treated with dignity and respect. And let, in my old age, you know,
right,
treated as a human being should be.
Sure.
And I'm amazed at where this is. Could you guess?
I haven't got the slightest idea.
China.
You mean you sent to China?
No, it was in my local newspaper, an ad.
It was an ad?
No, it was just a small caption. It told all these beautiful things, and
oh,
I thought of you.
I see.
Because it seemed to answer all my questions.
Yeah, well, listen, I prefer not to live in that sort of society, but for people who have been immersed in feudalism for centuries and centuries, perhaps that's their choice of their society. They don't understand the kind of freedom we live under. I couldn't live under that kind of regimented society because it's just not my form of style. But those people who know nothing else, perhaps for them it's good.
One other thing, I got in touch to try and get the job that Kevin Harrington was, you know, how he created two jobs.
Yeah.
And I was sort of hoping he might create a smaller one for me, and I called my senator.
Yes.
And to find out, and my senator is a very young senator and just newly elected. In fact, it was the day he was being, inaugurated, sworn in.
Right.
So I called him, and I told him, you know, it's kind of upset about creating these jobs if the people didn't want these men and voted them out. How could they get these jobs? So I sort of, you know, kind of like to apply for one. And his answer to me was that he's very new at the job and he apologized for things, so nobody said a thing, so it's better to lose. Today was much better than that.
Mm-hmm. Evidently.
So where's the justice?
I saw a cartoon that somebody sent to me from the Worcester Gazette showing the winner of that Senate fight between the Joe Ward and, I guess, Robert Hall is the fellow's name. And he's kind of smiling, but Joe Ward is walking off with the cut. I mean, the big cut. And on the cup it said $31,000.
You bet.
Good enough. Thanks for calling. A news broadcast is next with Streeter Stewart as only Streeter can do it. And we'll be back.
Hardly anything is the same as 10 years ago, and that includes pork.
Thanks to modern feeding and trimming techniques, today's pork gives you far more meat protein, far fewer calories. So pork is now found on menus for folks who watch their weight. And it still ranks among the most easily digested meats.
Think nutrition.
Hi, this is Larry Glick, and I'll be seeing you in 1 hour on Radio 103.
The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston. Group W, Westinghouse Broadcasting.
It's 18 degrees in Boston. Tonight's low will be in the teens. I'm Streeter Stewart reporting the 11 o'clock WBZ News. The attorney for four of the defendants in the Watergate case says the men connected with the breaking and entering at the Democratic National Headquarters to plant bugging devices were poor little people who had no intention of doing anything bad because they did not have criminal minds. In fact, he said that when they broke and entered, they really thought they were doing good and that the bugging was part of their patriotic duty. But the prosecution doesn't think so. E. Howard Hunt, a former White House aide, pleaded guilty to three of the charges, hoping to avoid trial on the other five. And the judge has that under consideration. More from Group W correspondent Matt Cooney.
The government described Hunt as a key figure in a political espionage plot aimed at the Democratic Party and some of its top leaders. While serving as a White House consultant, Hunt allegedly hired a college student, Thomas Gregory, whom he learned of through a friend. He had him spy on Muskie, the prosecution claims, and later had Gregory infiltrate McGovern headquarters to lay the groundwork for planting bugging devices in the offices of top McGovern advisors. Along the road, Hunt left the White House. The government, in its opening statement, appeared to suggest that Hunt and the other defendants were going about their illegal intelligence activities without White House authorization. Hunt is in his 50s, frail, an Ivy League dresser, a Bay of Pigs planner, author of several spy and sex novels. His wife was killed in a Chicago plane crash around Christmas time. $10,000 in cash was found in her purse with a paper band around it. Written on the band were the initials FS, matching those of one of the defendants. Matt Cooney, Group W News, Washington.
A TWA jumbo jet on a nonstop flight from Chicago to Los Angeles lost part of one engine over Colorado. It made a safe landing at McCarran Air Force Base in Nevada, and no one was hurt. The passengers went on to Los Angeles in another plane. The World Airline pilots have issued a warning that they will go on an indefinite strike unless the governments of the world take effective steps to stop aerial hijackings. The pilots are demanding that the nations of the world boycott any country that gives haven to aerial hijackers. While it's freezing in New England, it's springtime in Argentina, and the weather has stirred up a tornado. It struck San Justo this afternoon, killing 50 persons and injuring at least 300 others. Firemen, doctors, and nurses are converging on the city of 50,000 from nearby communities to give aid. WBZ News Time, 3 minutes after 11.
Here in Bermuda, a beautiful world awaits you, the world of Princess Hotels. The famous Princess in Hamilton and the lovely new Southampton Princess on the South Shore. During rendezvous season now through February, you may stay at either of these fabulous resorts and enjoy all the excitement and facilities of both. Escape the ordinary. Catch up with yourself with the beauty of Bermuda all around you. Enjoy complimentary fees to the Princess Golf and Tennis Club, traditional afternoon teas, award-winning dining at fabulous Princess restaurants. Select any of six special holiday plans for your Princess rendezvous. Perhaps our three-day escape holiday from $38 a person, or our four-day mini holiday from $73.50 a person. Bermuda is only 1.5 hours from Boston, and airfares start at $92 round trip. See your travel agent or call Jane at our Bermuda desk by dialing toll-free 800-327-1313. That's 800-327-1313.
In sports, in the NBA, Boston beat Houston 128-107, Los Angeles 120, Philadelphia 96, Kansas City Omaha 102, Chicago 100. In the ABA, New York 105, Carolina 93, Dallas 124, San Diego 111. In the National Hockey League, Detroit 2, Pittsburgh 1, Atlanta 5, Chicago 2, Toronto 4, New York Islanders 2. And in the World Hockey Association, New York Raiders 4, Philadelphia 1. The weather for Boston and vicinity tonight, clear with low temperatures in the teens, light west winds, tomorrow sunny, a little warmer. High temperatures in the low to middle 30s, west winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. The present temperature, 18 degrees. The top story of the hour, the attorney for four of the defendants in the Watergate case says his clients do not have criminal minds and did not think they were doing anything wrong when they broke into and planted bugging apparatus in the Democratic National Headquarters. And that's the 11 o'clock WBZ report with portions recorded. I'm Streeter Stewart, WBZ News. Join the WBZ Blood Brotherhood by giving a much-needed gift of life Thursday, January 11th at the Dorothy Quincy Suite, John Hancock Hall, from 9 to 9. Roll up your sleeve and become a Blood Brother. A recent WBZ editorial urged legislation which would allow city councils and town meetings at least some control over local school committee budgets. Here with a rebuttal is Charlotte Ryan, chairman of the Massachusetts Educational Conference Board.
Leaders of school organizations agree with WBZ that property taxes are too high. We also feel that school costs can be controlled, but putting school budgets back under political control is not the way to go about it. The fiscal autonomy of school committees came about because school budgets were at times a political football. We must not go back to that. With community help, there are other ways to make needed economies. Greater cost effectiveness usually requires changes in curriculum and staff, but many parents and other citizens oppose change. School staff are reluctant to make changes that community people oppose, so improvements are add-ons instead of changes. If a sudden budget cut were mandated by a city council or town meeting, schools would be limited in what they could do. The improvements likely would go first, whether career education or new advanced science courses. Next would go athletic and extracurricular activities. Then clerical help for teachers, teacher aides, and educational materials. All of these would cut into actual teaching time with students. The remaining curriculum would become more rigid, children would tend to learn less, school problems and eventually costs would increase. Education is a complicated business, only in that it requires a lot of people working together to meet different needs of a lot of very different children. School staff and community together can improve education and cost effectiveness, but it takes time. It also takes cooperative working arrangements that threats of arbitrary action will prevent or destroy. One of education's main goals is development of New England's chief economic resource, its people. Those who would control its costs, whether taxpayers or municipal officials, would do far better to involve themselves in supporting school improvement jointly with school staffs and school committees. Both the tax rates and the children will benefit.
WBZ, WBZ TV has presented Rebuttal with Charlotte Ryan, chairman of the Massachusetts Educational Conference Board. She was replying to our editorial urging a system of city council or town meeting control over local school costs. Now, once again, it's time for Jerry Williams.
Hello, America. This is Jerry Williams. We'll be talking to you till midnight. You tuned in late. Didn't miss too much. Last night we had Senator George McGovern with us. But you didn't miss a lot tonight. But if you'd like to talk about anything, our pleasure. 2545678, we begin. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
How you doing?
Very good.
I've been listening to the program tonight. I have noticed that I haven't heard anybody call you on the public hearing from the telephone company today.
No, there wasn't any, there haven't been any calls.
I am your first one.
All right.
Some major complaints that I have with the telephone company. I couldn't make it to the public hearing today, first of all, and I'm sure many people couldn't because it's held during the day. And one of my major complaints has been that public hearings are held during the day when most people are working. And I know there was talk at one time about holding them at night or holding them on Saturdays, but it doesn't seem to be done. So I heard that it was sparsely attended today, so therefore
And sparsely publicized.
Excuse me?
Sparsely publicized as well.
Right, but also what the telephone company's statement at the hearing was, well, see, no one showed up, so therefore our service must be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't believe it.
But they know better than that.
They know better, but they're saying it. And what people don't realize is it's going to become very easier for the telephone company to get a rate increase by proving that, you know, no one came out for the public hearing to complain.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that I think are really abominable are the rates that they charge to businesses. People at home pay very nominal fees as compared to what a business pays for the same type of service. Assuming that I have a home line, I live in Framingham, and I have a home line that I can call Metropolitan Boston. It costs me $11 a month and change. For a business line that I can only call in the Framingham area, it costs me something like $30 a month. And the people in business really end up paying for everything that the person at home gets. Another thing is, one thing I don't understand is why the telephone has to spend so much money on advertising. They're a monopoly in this state, and in most states, there's just no one else you can go to. If you don't like the service you're getting,
mm-hmm.
you just can't go and give the business to somebody else.
You can get a Dixie cup and a thread.
Huh?
You can get a Dixie cup and a thread.
Yeah, two Dixie cups.
That's right.
You have someone to talk to at the other end. But am I right?
Well, they advertise because they want to sell equipment, because of public relations. The value involved, because they want to let people know to use their facilities, to use them more often, to use long distance more often. They want more people to use the facility. That's why they advertise. They want people to know what their services are.
Okay, to a degree, but that can also be done with a mailing with your telephone bill. Everybody who has a telephone gets a telephone bill.
Sure.
And a lot of it could be done that way. Another thing that they've been highly advertising lately is the fact that people take their phone off the hook and leave it off the hook when they don't want to be disturbed. But the telephone company, through all its ingenuity, has not come out with a better idea of not being disturbed other than taking your phone off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
They could put a little switch on your phone to switch over from a bell to a light when you don't want to be disturbed. Or they could put in a button that you push that emits a tone telling the person at the other end that you're home, but you're sleeping or something. You just don't want to
Listen,
be disturbed.
You may give them a new idea to charge you a new tariff.
Well, what I'm saying is take a look around you. They come up with the trim line telephone that lights up, that you push buttons. It's just, I don't think it would have been that hard to come up with something that they complain about that costs them a fortune each year. They tell you that it's costing a fortune each year because people are leaving their phone off the hook because they have to send out repairmen, check lines, and things like that. But they haven't done anything to prevent that. In other words, to make it easier for you not to do that. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Now, what do you suggest that people do who did not go to their public hearing today? I mean, how can they let the telephone company, or not the telephone company, the Public Utilities Commission know? Should they write in, or...
Yes, I think that's the best way. The Department of Public Utilities, I don't know whether they have a new chairman or not. The new chairman, the old chairman, is now the head of that whole department. I'm not sure there is a new chairman yet. It is the Department of Public Utilities, and insist on a nighttime hearing.
Right.
No reason in the world why it can't be held.
If I could have one more moment.
Sure.
I'd like to explain. I also have a business in Framingham, and some of the problems that I've been running into, they talk about their service. My customers tell me that they're calling the store, and they hear a ringing at their end, and nobody is answering. But the phone doesn't ring in my store.
Now, I've recently had a problem like that, trying to reach somebody for 2 days. We get a ring. I felt sure that these people were just not home. But we tried 10 or 12 different occasions to call these people in Newton, by the way, and the phone was out of order.
Right. Well, in our case, sometimes you'll get through and sometimes you won't. It's not only happening to me. It's happening to other people
sure.
out here.
Yeah.
The other thing is you'll dial all 7 digits. It'll go click, and you'll get a dial tone. You can do this repeatedly.
Right.
And you call the phone company, you tell them, and it just doesn't seem to do much good, even for a business. You know, businesses, they're supposed to give businesses some sort of priority, like during working hours. But even that doesn't seem to do much good. They do not seem to be capable of clearing them, these particular problems up.
Mm-hmm.
But they want more money.
Yeah, the DPU, I guess, is the best place to bombard with cards and letters insisting upon a nighttime hearing.
Okay, you're right, though, about it not being very well publicly advertised.
No, I didn't know about it myself.
Well, whose fault was that?
Well, I think the newspapers, where obviously it will be the best place to inform people of that. I suppose the Department of... We usually get little releases from the Department of Public Utilities when there was a hearing. We didn't get one this time.
What I saw that told me there was a public hearing tonight, today, was I picked up the Framingham News yesterday, and there was a letter in the Letters to Editor column from Senator Burke, the local senator.
I didn't know of it. We usually get, again, a press release from the Department of Public Utilities, but we got nothing this time, and the only time I heard about it was after the fact.
That's another thing. I, myself, personally, I've had a couple of contacts with the DPU. I have not found them that willing to accept your complaint and do anything about it. They usually tell you, our hands are tied. The court's tied our hands. This one tied our hands, that type of thing. So I just don't know how much the DPU has been doing in protecting the public.
Well, try the card and letter and telegram routine to the DPU asking for the nighttime hearing, all right?
I certainly hope your other listeners will also.
Good, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. 1116 on BZ. Hello.
I'd like to talk to you about Mr. Nixon.
Yes.
Well, I was, noticing all the things that have come to light since Election Day, like what's been happening about, like, the bombing and the way the funds have been cut off on all the social programs and all that. And I really can't see how anybody can really... honestly support Mr. Nixon after all that he's been doing.
Well, the president does have some broad support, however. I don't quite understand all of the broad support. I would understand that he would have some support, but the broad support that he has is obviously one of the big polls of the last 4 years was the election on November the 8th, and that did it.
Well, I know that's in our area. I'm calling from Virginia. And,
yep.
Like the federal support for the elderly, like Mr. Nixon's been pushing that a lot. The administration, that was a big deal a while back.
Sure, that's right.
And that support for the elderly, the federal support is being cut off in September.
Mm-hmm.
At least in our area, there will be no more federal support for the elderly.
A lot of support for up here in Boston has been cut off for housing, which will make next 4 years a disaster as far as housing is concerned in this area.
Also, quite recently, what I noticed was the price increases, the wholesale price index, shut up. But I can't see how the price program is going to be. The wages have been kept down effectively.
Well, perhaps we can elicit a call tonight from a person who supports the president and find out just why they do it. Outside of the war. You're talking about outside of the war.
Outside of the war, just on the home front, there's been a lot of stuff that I can't understand. Maybe it's public relations on the part of the administration, but...
Silence.
Well, that's true, but there's been a lot of play up on the, price board and how well they've been doing, but the only time that they did any good was, I think it was between April and June. And ever since then, the prices have been shooting up.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, the wages have been kept down beautifully, but that doesn't help, the working man. What's going to happen to him? The prices are shooting up and shooting up, and his wages are being kept down.
You're absolutely right about it. I mean, the facts are obvious, and we'll see if we can elicit one Nixon supporter without getting into an argument with him or her as to why he or her supports the president this time with all of the action that is obvious. Thanks very much, Stu, for calling. The new year is here. So the values at J.M. Fields during our giant Isle of Value sale featuring brand-name major appliances. Prices lower than ever before. Some examples? A 1973 RCA 25-inch console color TV with AccuColor, automatic fine-tuning, and much more. Now value price is only $399. Or choose a Whirlpool two-cycle front-loading rollabout dishwasher for only $169. Save on these and many other famous makers such as GE, Kelvinator, Magic Chef, and more. And on color TV and stereo by RCA, K-Part, Zenith, and others. All value price to save you money. Specially displayed in a special aisle all the way from the front of the store to the back. Now remember, all prices include delivery in the area, full of manufacturer's parts and labor warranties. The Isle of Value sale now in its second smash week. at J.M. Fields in Medford and Natick and all other J.M. Fields stores in New England.
On August 5th, 1971, the new DC-10 took to the air on its first commercial flight. Now after 16 months, after flying 6 million passengers more than 47 million miles, the DC-10 is ready for Delta. We call it the Wide Ride Jet. The wall-to-wall carpet in the three living room cabins is 18 feet 9 inches wide. The 8-foot ceilings and double aisles make it easy to enter and leave. All the seats in both tourist and first class are in pairs, two on the aisle, and each seat has its own stereo. Delta's DC-10 has below-deck galleys for better meal service and a crew of 8 stewardesses, each one a Delta professional. Delta's Wide Ride DC-10 gives comfort a whole new meaning. Fly it soon. Delta is ready when you are.
This winter, fly Delta's Wide Ride DC-10 from Boston to Miami. For reservations, call Delta or your travel agent. It's 20 minutes past 11. Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm calling up to make a suggestion on for people who want to send letters to Congress recommending that they cut off the funds for the Vietnam War. In addition to writing to their own congressmen from their own district, I think two of the key congressmen that they could write to would be Stennis, the chairman of the Senate Armed Forces Committee.
Armed Services.
Armed Services.
Yep.
He's a Southern knee-jerk conservative, but he's getting shaken lately. I've been watching his